Smitty checks in with us. Joe, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Joe.
Morning, Margaret.
Pot of coffee's rolling?
Oh, yeah. Been rolling since a little before 6.
Denise Asquith's rolling.
Yeah. Wow.
You have to ask her the next time you talk to her, when was the last time she lost a match in general? Was it just a game hit around with somebody, you know, 5 years older than her? Was it some junior tournament somewhere? Because, Joe, the IHSAA has no record of this in the last couple of years. And what a fantastic weekend, a fantastic story, and a back-to-back state champion.
All pretty much incredible, wasn't it? The brilliant high school tennis career of Bloomington South's Denise Asquith, back-to-back undefeated two-time state singles champion, only the 10th player ever to achieve and capture multiple crowns on the girls' side. Donning the purple uniform for a final time at Park Tudor, Denise Forrest to 3 sets by Kirsten Carlson of Carmel for only the second time all year. The first player to win it back-to-back in 12 years doing it, closing out 29-0 this season, 51-0 as a streak that lasted for over 2 years, digging down for more after losing 7-5 in the opening set to the Carmel sophomore-to-be, herself then 7-5 in the second and then the 6-4 closing set. Her heart is big as the backing she received from family and friends who gathered on that Saturday 90-degree-plus day at Park Tudor to cheer her on. She stepped up time and again, tracking down balls, delivering shots after trailing in the second set, 4-2, to win at 7-5, certainly the turning point of the match and obviously her career. Joining pole vault champion Deacon Voles as a 2015 state champion for Southside, both winning a week ago, if you remember, the IHSA coveted Mental Attitude Awards in the process. A young lady in Denise Asquith, who certainly embraced the moment, wore that target of undefeated and favorites rolled on her chest and delivered brilliantly, just like she did her entire South career. Bill Klusner's South Baseball Panthers had their path cut short to the state title game as Terre Haute Norris scored 6 in the 4th after 2 were out to jump back in front after trailing the Panthers 3-1 and 4-2 early on in Saturday's semi-state game at Plainfield, winning 8-6. An 8-4 deficit narrowed thanks to senior shortstop Chase Dabbs' 2-run home run in the 5th, but senior Patriot reliever Greg Hannum closed it out, getting the final 6 outs despite giving up 7th inning singles to Dab and Nick Wright. Dab had a perfect 4-for-4 day Saturday with 3 RBI to close out his career, and senior left-hander Cam Prince suffered the loss, the 6-run 4th, just too much to overcome, but he kept things interesting, retiring the final 7 in order after that 6-run 4th, but the comeback wasn't to be as South. Certainly had an outstanding postseason. Sectional regional champs, they closed 19-12. By the way, Dustin Carver, South Panthers in the state golf championships. They'll start tomorrow at Prairie View up in Carmel. And Rick Shears medalist tourney champions were crowned on Sunday out at the Caves. That coming up a little bit later. Reds open up a brief 2-game home-and-home with Detroit. They're at Comerica Park tonight. Pre-game at 7 o'clock. Final 2 games of the series will be at the Great American Ballpark Wednesday and Thursday.
So they switched the field on us there, huh?
Yeah.
So they go 2 up and 2 back. All right.
2 up and 2 back.
Okay, I had them for 4 in Detroit.
Yeah, basically, remember, it used to be in the old, few years ago, we strictly had interleague play. Well, a lot of teams are playing that right now. This next couple of, this entire week's going to be all interleague play.
Great.
So, this one here, since it's in the neck of the woods, 2 home, or 2 road, 2 home.
That's all right. That works. Not a lot of travel in that as well.
Yeah.
LeBron James is really good at basketball. It's a shame that he doesn't have any firepower to go along with him offensively, as Golden State just systematically wears you down and wears you down. And when Golden State scores, Joe, Cleveland has a hard time keeping up. And we saw that last night. And
Stephen Curry.
Yeah, he's a pretty good player.
Yeah, he is. He went crazy in the 4th. But the thing, it was great, too, to see how well Golden State played. I don't know, it was a combination of them playing good D. And again, Cleveland, we talked about this the entire series, just during key stretches of games, Glass, just getting physically fatigued.
Yep,
so,
and there's nowhere
else. They got
else
5 points the final 4.5 minutes.
No, and the NBA is a scoring league. And if you cannot score, you better play defense unbelievably well, like they did. They played defense like that in games one and games two and games three. That's hard when you're only playing about six guys to keep that pace up throughout the course of a seven-game series. And what's a seven-game series designed to do, Joe? Yeah. Identify the best team over those seven games, not the team that was hot for the first two or three.
Yeah, no question. We'll see if they can even her up and force a seventh game.
Did you take your Dellavedova jersey back yet, or you still got the tag on that?
No, but he's going to be one tired puppy when this is all done. He just hasn't had his stuff since the first couple of games.
And I think you can make the argument that's not surprising because he hasn't been in that position throughout his career.
I hate to use the word hit the wall, but, you know, freshman hit the wall in college, quote unquote. You know, first line or first year players or rookies tend to do the same.
I can remember when Timothy Mozgov had 28 points and 14 rebounds just a couple games ago. And
where was he last night?
He had some foul problems, and Golden State went small. And, Joe, when you're leading, you dictate. Yeah. And if you want to chase with the big guy and have them run circles around you, that's it's a fascinating game, and that's why you always like you like to see the series play out before, unless you're the national media at 2-1 declaring it over and Dellavedova, a Hall of Fame player, and let's take a deep breath and let it play out. Dave and I will get into that tonight.
Yeah, I know you will.
6-7. There, we'll take you into Reds baseball at 7 o'clock. Reds had a tough one last night. Bases loaded in the ninth. Nobody out.
Mean, you know, they had,
Two of the pups hurt him there. But Brian Pena's got to hit a sacrifice fly there, Joe. He's got to do something. He's got to get the ball in play out of the infield. And that did not happen.
Preaching to the choir, brother.
And the Reds fall.
I know.
Their big players did what they needed to do in their last at bat. They got on base, they loaded them up, and then the kids had to help out. Or you got to go to a pinch hitter there or something.
Yeah.
And you didn't. Reds fall 6-under, and Detroit no picnic for four games this week. Then the Marlins come to town on the weekend there. What else are we missing?
Well, we got that sixth game tonight on the NHL beat.
The Blackhawks can win the Stanley Cup Championship in Chicago. I think tickets are going there. You don't want to know how much those are going
for. Oh, I can imagine.
This will be their third cup since 2010. They won the 2010-2013 championships as well. 2-1 Saturday night. Winners in Tampa, again, holding off the Lightning. We'll see if the Lightning can get off the mat one more time. Showtime tonight, 8 o'clock on NBC.
8 o'clock.
And we'll take all that
in. If it goes seven, they'll skate Wednesday in Tampa Bay.
The world-renowned Fabian Gomez wins the FedEx St. Jude Classic on the PGA Tour. MB Park wins her third consecutive late LPGA championship on three different courses. That's the most remarkable golf story. And it is U.S. Open week. Chambers Bay, University Park, Washington. First time ever for the United States Open as Martin Keimer defends his title won last year at Pinehurst.
Who?
Yeah, that's how it goes sometimes. That's how it goes.
Where has he disappeared to?
I don't know. He's playing with, I think, Webb Simpson and let's see who else is on the inconsistency train. Some of those
Jason
guys.
Jason Day.
We'll find all of them this week, though.
Oh, the top what? Top 60 in it?
60 or more? Top 60 in the official world rankings.
Right.
And then multiple other ways of qualifying. 60 sectional qualifiers as well. And, we'll be at the gravel pit all week there in south of Seattle. The big old gravel pit.
Yeah.
All right, good stuff. We'll get caught up at 8:45. I have no idea what we'll talk about, but we'll figure something out.
Dustin Carver.
Oh, that's right, we got golf.
You guys always have plenty of stuff
golf,
to talk
golf,
about.
Golf, and
Rick
golf.
Scheer had a nice cap to he extended things to, it's always been 2 days to medalists, but two different courses this year in the medalists, and we'll talk about the winners crown yesterday at the Cades.
Very nice, and that's right, because the state golf goes, unlike the other sports in the state, on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Right.
Gotcha. Well, all right, good. Well, I'm glad we'll get that caught up next. Good job, Smitty.
All righty, we'll see you then.
Here's Joe Smith. He checks in. Good morning, Smitty.
Hello again, everybody.
Hey, Joe. Hey.
Happy Monday.
Yeah.
Here we are. It's going to be warm from here on out, Smitty. June is halfway gone, but we're not done. We still got some high school activity rolling out, and the boys' high school golf state championships will take place tomorrow and Wednesday at Prairie View up in Carmel. And Dustin Carver's South Panthers they carved up Champions Point, Joe. It wasn't good enough for a win, but they're peaking at the right time.
Well, here they are now, where they wanted to be this time of year, and that's a return trip to the state championships opening tomorrow at Prairie View in Carmel. Dustin Carver's ninth-ranked South Panthers. An impressive regional field. They survived Thursday of last week, placing second to top-ranked Center Grove, firing a 298 round over the tough Chambers Champions Point course down in Henryville. Paced by sophomore Joe Weiler's 270. Joe finished atop the medalist leaderboard. Weiler and Mates returned this week trying to improve on last year's eighth place finish, and certainly all arrows indicate they'll do just that starting tomorrow. Coach Dustin's top four were just rock solid in the regional with a sophomore Tanner Shapiro carding a 1-over-73, junior Nick Burris a 75, and graduated senior Sam Karcher an 80. Ben Dawson had an 89, but that quintet did what they've done so well all spring, really, and that's hit fairways and greens and scored with their putters. The Conference Indiana and the sectional champs chase the top-ranked team in the state in Center Grove, who won the regional with a 290, but did what they needed to do, and that's play within themselves, easily out-distancing Floyd Central, who trailed south by 8 shots in third, shooting a sub-300 round, the Panthers with that 298. Brian Muehlhaus's young North Cougars finished 15th last week. Edgewood's graduated senior Jonas Carmichael fell a couple of shots short of advancing as an individual with a 76. And senior Ian Bailey finished an outstanding career out on the north side with an 81. But an asterisk here for Ian, who finished off his four-year career as the number one Cougar in the history of the sport to play in every event contested, and leaves as the number one all-time North golfer in terms of holes played. So the first round is tomorrow at Prairie View. We wish the Panthers the very best. Rick Shearer, mentioning golf, held the weekend two-course, two-site medalist tournament, Martinsville Golf Club and Cascades. Ron Shiflett made it two straight super seniors titles, beating Robin Harper by a shot, firing a final round 269 out at the cage yesterday, also defending his junior's crown. Recently graduated North Cougar Young Park, a two-shot win over former Edgewood Mustang Jonas Carmichael. Kelsey Ord wrapped up her second medalist crown in the women's, and Tim Fish picked up his second medalist title, his first in 6 years, beating Linton's Clayton French and former Edgewood standout and defending city golf champion Mitch Ord by a couple of shots as he played par golf yesterday out of the cage. And in the men's seniors, a couple of Cascade veterans and former city titleists, multiple if you will. Bob Hasty beat Ike Martin by 6 shots. Both men carded 1-under-70s yesterday. Flight winners Sunday included Ben Udaly and Mark Geyer in the men's, Joe Newman and Tim Gillespie in the men's seniors, and George Finley, Tom Dillon, and Mike Combs in the men's super seniors. Well, the Reds open up interleague play, playing at Comerica Park tonight against Detroit. A two-game set opening tonight, and then they'll play two in Cincinnati Wednesday and Thursday on the airwaves. Our pregame show at 7 o'clock tonight. Don't forget In the Zone, Dave and Glass, and your phone calls to set up the week, get you ready for NHL, NBA action coming up starting at 6 tonight.
And Chambers Bay is on the radar as well, Joe. The U.S. Open is this weekend in the Seattle suburb of University Park. Chambers Bay, an old gravel pit that sat empty from the early 2000s. They sunk $20 million into it and had Robert Trent Jones II, design it. They had the 2010 Amateur there, and now the 2015 United States Open, one of the younger courses ever to have it on there. The first new course, Joe, since Hazeltine, that Robert Trent Jones Sr. took care of back in 1971 to join the rotation. So it'll be an interesting week in the sandbox or the pit, whatever you want to call it out there. So we'll keep an eye on all of that.
Little primetime golf.
It is on the weekend and during the week as well.
Yeah.
And that'll be interesting. So we've got high school golf to start the week and the best of the best, the United States Open, to finish it up. And we'll keep an eye on all of that. The Warriors and Cavaliers got together last night. There is no doubting how good LeBron James is, Joe. His supporting cast comes and goes like the breeze.
Yep.
And Golden State has too much of that, and that's the difference. Steph Curry had 17 in the fourth quarter, including 5 3-pointers made. 3 of them were nothing short of ridiculous.
Should have been 6.
6-pointers?
Yeah. 6-pointers.
An awfully good player, but the NBA, you have to score in that league to keep up when guys can. They're so individually talented, Joe. You got to keep scoring, and Cleveland didn't. Their last 5 minutes, how quiet did they go? How big was that run?
17-5. Yeah,
you can't get outscored in a 6-point game with 12 minutes to go or whatever it was. That's not going to work.
Yeah.
So the Blackhawks can eliminate the Lightning and raise the cup tonight. Game 6 in Chicago, Blackhawks leading that series 3-2. The NBA is tomorrow night, and the golf gets us going. What else do we need to do? You want to talk Reds? They lose 3-4 in Chicago. It was tough.
We run across a couple of stats, and it's the same old, and that's the inability to win on the road. The Reds have lost 12 of the last 14 now, have averaged less than 3 runs. They're 19-50 glass on the road since last June, and 3 wins in 22 road series, and we take it a step further now that this week will be consumed with interleague play. The Reds have the worst record in MLB. They're 7-21 since the start of last season, and to make it worse, they're only 2-16 in AL parks. And the last time I checked, Comerica Park's in Detroit, and Detroit's in the American League, so, you know.
The dog says rough.
Well, not to throw any more fire onto the flames, but, you know, it doesn't bode well being 12.5 back. So
no, it doesn't. But the good news
is almost all over for the Deds.
The good news is the second wild card will keep them alive as long as they find a way to get through this injury bug and get everybody back to health.
Yeah, that couple, that's the most important thing. And obviously that couple with just those stats I told you about, their inability to win on the road, they just have to find a way to get the win.
They did. Bases loaded last night.
Had a chance last night, yeah.
Bases loaded, nobody out.
That's all you can ask for.
No wild pitch, no hit by a batter, no sack fly. There's only about, 16 ways to score a run in baseball, and they couldn't figure out one of them. But they had two of their kids at the plate, Joe, and that doesn't help either. So we're trying to spin this in a positive direction.
Yeah, we are.
Try to find one.
Now, the Reds, what it is right now.
They go home Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So they've got a chance to, again, knock a few out and gain some games. Moving up the standings there. Cardinals' best record in baseball, that's hardly a surprise. They have injuries every year, lose frontline starting pitching, lose guys in the field.
Didn't even play last night. Rain got them, and they're still 6 in front of Pittsburgh.
Yep, so. Kansas City and St. Louis rained out last night as all that moved through here as well. Smitty, great job as always.
Alrighty.
Who's on timeout for sports tomorrow?
Fred Glass is going to join us, talk more a little about Mark Cuban's nice gift, and we'll catch up with Fred as we continue our summertime series. Also, assistant IHSA commissioner Sandy
not
Searcy.
For long.
And also,
you know, Sandy got a new job, right?
Kit Klingelhofer. Didn't know that.
Yeah. I'll tell you about it when we get done. She's moving to the Indianapolis to the National High School Federation.
Okay.
So she's she'll tell you all about it tomorrow night, which is interesting, and it's cool that she's moving to the national scene because she's done an unbelievable job with Bobby Cox and the IHSA.
Oh, no question. Yeah. And she stayed here in Bloomington, and the kid, of course, a retired longtime SID at IU. Both of them serve on the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame board, and we'll be talking about that kind of starting our preview ahead. Well, it's less than a month now, the fifth induction class for the Hall of Fame on Friday, July the 12th. So Sandy and Kit, Fred, will join me live.
That's a powerhouse show there, buddy.
Tomorrow night. And
Sandy's
new job.
Yeah.
You tell me something. That's why.
No, that's why
I love to talk to you as much as I can.
She's going
to
break it for you on your show tomorrow night, tell you what that is, what it's all about. I saw a news release late on Friday, and there we go. And away we go. We'll catch you tomorrow night in the studio at 6 p.m. How's that sound?
We'll be there.